And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The second Sunday after Easter presents us with one of the most beloved and well-known images in Holy Scripture, Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. In both the Old and New Testaments, this theme is often repeated. The image was also one of the favorites in the early centuries of the church as well, since archaeologists have uncovered a number of these images, showing that they were popular in the catacombs where the early Christians gathered. And even though today, where most of us could live and die without actually seeing a shepherd with his sheep, it is still a theme with which we can readily relate. But why is this particular theme significant for this moment in the church calendar? What does this image have to do with Eastertide? I would assert that the church chose this theme because on this Sunday, Jesus' words about being the Good Shepherd point us both to his death on the cross for us and his subsequent ministry after his resurrection. The first part of this is rather easy to see. Jesus says, after all, at the beginning of our gospel lesson, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We tend to be rather sentimental when it comes to talking about shepherds. We fail to see that this was often dangerous work. But David, who was a shepherd, talked about delivering his father's sheep from a lion and a bear at one point. One older author writes, beneath the burning skies and the clear starry nights of Palestine, there grows up between the shepherd and his flock a union of attachment and tenderness. It is the country where at any moment sheep are liable to be swept away by some mountain torrent or carried off by hill robbers or torn by wolves. At any moment, their protector may have to save them by personal hazard. Every hour of the shepherd's life is risk. This is precisely what we hear from Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd who would literally give his life for his sheep. He would unflinchingly stand in between his people and the wolf who would devour them. And he gave his life for ours. This is all what we rehearsed just a couple of weeks ago. Jesus Christ, as the Good Shepherd, gave his life for the sheep. He faced down the wolf, the prince of darkness, and by doing so, he rescued his sheep from his clutches. His death on the cross shows us the depth of his love for us. It shows us the extreme to which he was willing to go to save us. This kind of love is unfathomable to us, but it is beautiful when we see it. This is precisely why he is the Good Shepherd. He is contrasting himself with the leaders of Israel, who were really just hirelings. In fact, they had no interest in rescuing the sheep because they were working for the wolf. Just two chapters prior to this, in the same gospel, Jesus told these leaders who opposed him, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. These wicked leaders wanted to work with the wolf to bring the sheep under their control. But our Lord would have none of it. He rescued his sheep from the wolf, but gave his life in the process. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. But Jesus also hints in our text that this would not be his final act. After repeating that he would lay down his life for the sheep, he adds, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now you have to ask yourself, is he going to lay down his life for the sheep? If he's going to lay down his life for the sheep, how can he talk about going on to call other sheep? How will they hear his voice? And where will he bring them? The text, in its triumphant note, almost seems to echo another statement from Jesus' ministry where he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is where this theme of Christ as the Good Shepherd fits into Eastertide. We know that his sacrificial death on the cross was not his final act. He was raised from the dead on the third day, and he lives to rescue his sheep and to bring them into his one flock. Ultimately, this promise looks into the future when Christ would gather both Jews and Gentiles together into his one flock, that is, the church. But by stating this after his comment about laying down his life for the sheep, he is pointing beyond his death. Picking up on an image from another shepherd, famous shepherd text from the Old Testament, Jesus walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and he came out on the other side. And this is precisely why, when we must walk that path, we want him with us. He has gone there and was brought back to life, and he promises to do the same for us, his sheep. He walked into the gates of hell and walked out holding the keys. Listen to what the risen and ascended Lord Jesus told the author of this gospel when he saw the risen Christ in the opening vision of what's recorded in the book of Revelation. Saint John heard Jesus say to him, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. This is our Good Shepherd. This is why we can confidently pray those words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful message for Eastertide. Our Savior is our Good Shepherd, laid down his life for us. He faced down the wolf and submitted to death, but upon entering his lair, he snatched away the keys and arose to new life, everlasting life. And he promises the same life to his sheep. Because of what he has done, when we walk through that valley, we can rest assured that he will bring us through on the other side. He has entered into life eternal, and as the good shepherd that he is, he will guide us safely into his flock, where we will dwell with him forevermore. All of this comes together beautifully as we celebrate the Eucharist today. As we rehearse the words of institution from the upper room that night, we are reminded of our Lord's sacrificial death for us. But we are also reminded that at that same meal, he told his disciples and us that he was going to prepare a place for us, that where he would be, we might be also. This meal becomes an anticipation of that. Our Good Shepherd prepares this table for us in the midst of our enemies. It is right here that we eat and drink the eternal life which he has procured for us. So today, let us come to this heavenly banquet. Let us feed upon the gracious and life-giving food that he will give us, and let us celebrate the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us and was raised that he might bring us safely into his flock, where we might enjoy eternal life.